This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And you're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM WESB. Andy Paulson with you this morning. And, of course, as always, Master Gardener Bob Harris is here with me. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Andy.
My apologies to everyone who usually watches us on Facebook. Facebook changed their layout once again, and it has locked me out of posting live videos. So while we work on that, we've got some other stuff to do. Of course, you can always still reach us at 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. You can call anytime during the show. We will get you on live. You can also email us at garden@wesb.com. If you want to send photos, for example, of something that's wrong with one of your plants, that's the best way, garden@wesb.com. And I think we made it to the studio through the fog this morning. You can tell it's September.
Yeah, yeah, you can tell.
It's starting to get a little cooler, too, which that means you got to start prepping in the garden.
Yes, and one of the first things you should do, knowing that fall is coming up, you know, is prepare your lawn. There's a few things you can do in the fall that are really beneficial for your lawn. And one of them is these first few leaves that are going to be falling down. They're very easily mowed up, you know, chopped up with a mower, and then leave on the lawn. And they're very important to do this. Number one, leaves are going to be full of carbon, and carbon supports all life form in the soil, and that life form in the soil converts all the minerals so they're available for your lawn to feed on. So chopping up them leaves right up till you can't do it anymore. You know, if you get a tremendous amount of leaves down and your mower's struggling or you're just making piles, then rake them up and get them out of there. But if you can, mow them, chop them up, leave them in place, you know, your cuttings and the leaves that you've chopped up, because they're going to be very, very beneficial to your lawn. And since I'm talking about mowing there, this is important, too, that when you are mowing, you know, and a lot of us have side discharges, so you want to direct all those cuttings away from the beds or any mulched area, because there may be weed seeds in that. And if we blow those cuttings into the beds, then we're just creating a bigger weed problem. So it's real important to always direct that mower away from those mulch beds or flower beds, even the mulch rings around trees. Don't let those cuttings fly into that area.
Most of what our lawns are made of is actually weeds.
Yeah, so I'm afraid so.
You're spreading it around. It looks good when you keep it well tended in a yard, in a lawn, but you don't want it getting into your flower beds.
Yes. So that's really, really important. You can save yourself a whole lot of weeding by making sure those cuttings don't go into the beds. A lot of those cuttings may even have a lot of seed in them. And, of course, you're going to scatter it into the bed. And over time, those are going to germinate. And, of course, then you've got a weed bed rather than a flower bed. So keep that in mind. Direct those away from the beds and away from mulched areas.
Might it make more sense to use a bagging mower and dispose of them? No?
No. Okay. Because bag mowers, you're removing a huge percentage of the fertilizer that your lawn could use. As you're cutting your lawn, you're making cuttings and you're chopping off leaves. Those really are becoming compost and fertilizing your lawn, giving it that food that it has already taken away from the soil. You're replenishing it. So for us that don't fertilize our lawn, we want to leave those cuttings on the lawn. And it could protect your lawn from getting weedier by leaving those cuttings lay there. It's maybe shading out some of the weed seeds, or as it rots down, that fungus that is caused by it rotting down. Now, that's not going to affect your lawn, but that fungus, as the cuttings are rotting, may surround the weed seed, and of course that fungus is then on the weed seed and may destroy that weed seed. So leaving your cuttings on the lawn is real important. Don't try to make your lawn like a golf course. It's really going to be impossible. It's a whole nother environment on a golf course than it is your yard. So don't try to emulate that. It's just too much work. It's not possible. And it's discouraging when it doesn't happen, and you don't need any discouraging things.
I just like the natural look.
The natural look?
Yeah. Where it's just, it looks the same as everyone else on the street. It doesn't look too uniform. Some people with yards out there, I could swear they might as well just lay down AstroTurf. The way it looks, it doesn't look like grass.
Well, and that's okay too, you know. Mm-hmm. Always consider your outside of your house just like the inside. You know, and if you like real nice, neat flooring, then you're probably going to like a nice, neat, manicured lawn. And you know, that's possible. It's real possible. So by leaving those leaves there and the cuttings, you're going to help supply that lawn with fertilizer. It's going to be much greener and grow a little thicker. And by ridding your lawn of a few weeds. Now, it's simple to do. There's a lot of products on the market that make it very easy for any homeowner to do. The one that I kind of prefer is Weed Be Gone. You can get it in a bottle that you just hook to your hose and you can spray, or you can mix it up and put it in a pump-up sprayer and spray. And why I like it is because I don't have to spread the whole lawn. I can just go to the weed areas and just concentrate on them and spray those areas. And so I can take care of those weeds before they spread throughout the lawn. And the fall, now we're getting into fall, is the best time for me and many others to get rid of weeds in your lawn. The weeds are doing, like most plants now, they've changed from growing and flowering to gathering as much nutrient as possible to send to the roots to prepare for that long winter. So they are what we call translocating their energy. They're not sending it up to top growth. They're sending it down into the root system so that when you put an herbicide or weed killer on your lawn and it is in contact with the weed, the weed will absorb as much of it as it possibly can. So you get a better weed kill now than you would in the spring when it's actively growing, or even in the summer after a few rains, you know, when it puts on a growth spurt. So fall is one of the best times to get rid of weeds.
That's interesting. I never knew that there was a good or a better time, I should say, to get rid of weeds.
Yeah. Yeah, because quite often, even a dandelion, I'll just use that as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, in the spring when it's actively growing, you can spray a little weed killer on there and the leaves die back. But the root did not, because it didn't draw that herbicide into the root. Or maybe it has, but chances are it may not have. So, because all the energy was coming out of the root up to the leaves. So you think you've killed that dandelion. And then a few weeks later, all of a sudden, there's a dandelion there again. Now, in the fall, that's not going to happen. It's going to draw that herbicide out of the leaf and send it directly into the roots to help supply that for the next growing season. And, of course, in that case, it's going to kill the top and the root.
You mentioned dandelions. With all the rain, I had to let my lawn go for a little while. I couldn't mow it, and then I started noticing all the different types of weeds I've got. Oh, look, here I've got clover, here I've got dandelions.
Yep.
and I can start planning my strategy and get ready for the air assault on the on the weed. I think of it in terms of warfare with weeds around here.
I guess it could be, yeah.
Another thing that has, at least I've had in the news, we are still under a drought watch.
Yeah.
And what kind of strategy changes do we have to make to our yard to not affect a drought?
Okay. The lawns will be fine. They're used to it. They've had tens of thousands of years adjusting to drought and even wet times. So they'll adjust to it. Some of the plants, especially newly planted plants, whether it be tree, shrub, perennial, anything like that, we may have to help them out a little bit. But before you water, because it's easy to overwater, and probably heard me say that more plants fail from overwater than underwater. So really inspect that plant. Is it showing signs of wilt? That's from dryness, or is it just from heat, or is it just from its life cycle that it's starting to go to sleep now for the winter? But dig around in the soil, test the soil. If it does need water, then water. After a time, you'll get used to it, you know, that you won't even have to check eventually. You know that, well, that plant over there always dries out sooner than the other plant, so I better give it a little water. So really check it before you water, because you can do damage by overwatering than letting it go and letting it wilt even.
814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. You can also send an email with your question and any photographs to garden@wesb.com. And you don't have to only send email while we're on the air. During the week, if you've got a question that you think of, email it to us and we will get to it during the show and you'll get your answer. So what else have we got on stage this week?
Another little thing about mowing, quite often, and we all do this, is we find a neat pattern to mow our lawn in, and then we just continue that pattern. Over time, you know, where those wheels on the mower, and it doesn't matter if it's a riding mower or a push mower, they will create ruts. They will. And it can show up and remain there for a while. And over time, you know, those ruts can become bigger and bigger. And as those wheels are riding in that rut, they're compacting the soil. And that, by compacting the soil, that means less air space and less water space. So those grass plants can suffer from that. So it's a real good idea to change your pattern from time to time. You don't have to do it every single mowing, but it's a real good idea to change it. And your lawn can even adapt to being cut in one direction, just like the hair on your head, that if you comb it in one direction, eventually it just stays there. Your lawn can do that too, so that it can make it a little more difficult even to cut your lawn. It may just lay down as the mower blades are coming there rather than letting the blades cut them off. So, again, a real good idea to change directions once in a while.
As someone who's had the same basic haircut for 40 years, that analogy kind of fits me. I was always taught to cut in a spiral, go out around the outer edge, and then just keep spiraling inside, making smaller and smaller rectangles. Now, if I've been doing that for a while and I want to change it up, what would be the best option? Would it be diagonal cutting?
Yeah. Well, there's a number of ways. You know, diagonal, just straights, a lot of different ways to cut your lawn and benefit the lawn that way and to keep from getting those ruts.
368-WESB, 814-368-9372. You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM and 1490 AM and usually on Facebook, but I'm sorry we got zucked this week and we cannot stream for some reason. We should have that back next week. And, of course, You can listen on demand. We've got a huge selection of Bob going back a few years now at WESB.com. We're going to take a break right
if
now.
You need it, you'll
listen
find
to
it.
Our friends from Worth W. Smith, and we'll be right back with your questions. 368 WESB.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Make sure you're ready for the cooler weather ahead with a fresh supply of pellets, propane, and heating accessories. You'll find stovepipe, single-wall pellet pipe, and B-vent, and furnace filters. Worth Smith also carries a big supply of gloves for all seasons. And with canning season in full swing, see them for all sizes of canning jars and other canning supplies. Remember, if you need it for fall, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And once we're off the air, I actually have to stop out at Worth W. Smith. They're the only place that I know that can actually manage to cut my house key.
Ah.
I've got one of those weird old house locks.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the only people who seem to have the blanks. So
oh, great.
They're more good for more than just your gardening
needs. Oh, yeah.
Needs.
Yeah. By far, yes.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM, WESB, also 1490 AM. If you've got a question about something in your garden or a gardening technique or just you want to say hi at this point,
yeah,
you might as well give us a ring as we push into the fall. 814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372, and garden at WESB.com. We were just saying it can be hard after a while to change your direction of mowing from habit.
Yep, yep. And especially when you think you've got the quickest way of mowing, you know. Sometimes the quickest way is not the best way sometimes. Another thing I wanted to talk about was in the perennial beds. You know, fall is coming. A lot of the perennials are done blooming. There's a few that are still blooming well. But to help your perennials, if you... And this doesn't include all. I'm going to mention some that maybe you shouldn't deadhead. We're going to call it deadhead. That's chopping that spent flower off. That's called deadheading. But a lot of perennials, the spent flower there, it's a good idea. If you don't want it to go to seed for a reason, like black-eyed Susans and coneflowers, we want them to go to seed because they'll drop and become more new plants. But a lot of perennials were not concerned about that. So we want to deadhead those so we can stop energy from going up to creating seed, and it'll reverse and go down to creating new and more roots for next year, so the perennial will be much stronger the next year. So that's important, a deadhead, because we're going to send strength back to the ground. And then the perennial will be a little bit better next year. And it's a good practice to get into.
It keeps the plant, it makes the plant stronger. Again, my grandfather used to say when you would cut a spent bulb off, you'd get two bulbs the next year. And that's not literally true, but because it is making the plant stronger, you are more likely to get buds the following year.
Yes, yes, indeed. So that's a good practice of deadheading your perennials, many of them. Now, again, some of them we want to leave, like the black-eyed Susans, not only to help spread the plant and get more black-eyed Susans or Rudbeckia, but also to help feed the birds through the fall and winter. They'll collect a lot of those seeds. But some perennials, you know, they're not really looking for. So, again, good idea to deadhead them so we can strengthen the plant for next year.
Some words of wisdom as we get ready for the fall. If you've got a question, 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB, or garden at WESB.com. And like I said, it's starting to get colder. We're both here with long sleeves.
Yeah.
Just September, it's almost as if there's a switch somewhere that September 1st rolls around and suddenly it starts getting chilly.
Yeah.
You got to bundle up when you're out working in the yard.
Yeah, afraid so.
It
did switch really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure that it's a bit of a shock for the plants too when there's this sudden shift, isn't it?
No. Like, again, they've had tens of thousands of years of going through this. Most of the plants really go on the length of the day, the length that the sun is shining. So they already know before we know what time of year it is. And then they're already making preparations. Even if it stayed warm this time of year, the plants would still start to relax because of the length of the day. They know it's shorter, and they know that maybe it's warm today, but it is going to get cooler because of the length of daylight. They all know that.
We've also got something coming that most of us are not looking forward to. And, of course, that is going to be the first frost. It got down to 42 last night in Olean. So we're approaching the point where the frost is going to start coming down, and we've got to start preparing our plants for it.
Yes, yes. And in that, and I'll talk about it again in another show, that when a frost does occur, a lot of those perennial beds, you know, then after a frost has killed off the leaves, they're no longer useful for the plant. So that it can be a good idea, to cut them down as low to the ground as we possibly can and clean out that bed for a reason. A lot of those plants could have harbored some the bad insect eggs or the young. And by leaving them in the bed, now we're going to start out next year with a population of the bad bugs. But on the same token, they could be harboring good bugs. So that by cutting them down, cleaning them out, we could be taking away the good bugs. So that's a choice you got to make. You know, what do you prefer to do? Myself, most of the time, I'll cut back a few and take them right out of the bed. But many of them I'll just leave right there. They become a natural mulch. And if I just haven't had a bad bug problem, then I'm not really concerned. So I can leave them lay in place.
You can always go after the bad bugs if they manage to hatch. But the good bugs, they do so much for the plants that you want to give them a chance.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah. So most of the time, you just may want to leave that those cutback perennials, leave them right there. And there are several ways to do that. You can get down there with a pair of scissors and cut them down. You can get down there with pruners and cut them down. If you can chop them up, that's even better. But another way of doing it, if we've got a nice flat perennial bed, is we can just raise our mower up as high as it'll go, and we can just go right over the top of the perennial bed with that lawnmower, as long as it isn't real soft ground, you know, where the wheels are going to sink in. But quite often, we can just use a mower to give everything a trim, and it really chops everything up into mulch form. So it can be very beneficial to the garden that way.
Is this also a good time to start laying down some fresh mulch?
I like to in the fall, yes. A small skim coat if we've already mulched. Another little skim coat is really beneficial because that mulch regulates the temperature of the soil. So we don't get a warm soil and then a cool soil. You know, it gets warm during the day. It can really heat up and then cool at night so it can really cool off. So it'll regulate it, keep the temperature more constant. Because that can really stress, that change of heat can really stress a plant tremendously. And matter of fact, that's one of the big causes of plant failure is large temperature changes. So a layer of mulch can stop that big temperature change and keep that soil warm for a longer period of time. And, of course, that's going to be beneficial for the plant. Even though the frost has killed the top of the plant, the roots are still active underground, and they're still growing because they've collected food all through the year through the leaves. And so we want to protect those roots by giving them that little extra layer of protection.
814-368-9372. We do have time for one more call, if you have a question, give us a ring right now, 814-368-9372. And, of course, all week long, you can email us at garden@wesb.com. Anything to close things out this week?
The deer are starting to move a lot now.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to stay ahead of the game. The sooner you get out there to protect your plants, whether it be fencing or chemical or liquid deterrents, the sooner you do it, the better off you'll be, because you want to break them of that habit. And eventually they'll just stay away from your yard saying, no, we don't want to go in there. There's nothing to eat because Bob has already done something that makes it distasteful.
And we do have a caller on the line. Good morning. You're on with Bob.
Okay. This is a deadhead question. How do you feel about deadheading rhododendrons?
Oh, that, I think it's a good idea.
Well, I've got a bush that's probably... There's two bushes. They got too big up around the house, so we planted them out in the yard.
Okay.
And they're probably 10, 12 feet high and a little wider than that. And I haven't been doing anything to them because there was just too many of them, and they bloom really good every year. So.
Yeah. Now, you can deadhead them all, you know, and it's very easily to do. You just grab that old spent.
I did them when the bush was small.
Oh, okay.
But I just don't feel like getting on a ladder to do them.
Yeah, it's not necessary that you do it. It's more of a aesthetic thing that if you deadhead, they'll just look a little bit better through the winter. But it's not totally necessary, and most of us don't do
it. Well, it's a very, very beautiful one that big. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, they're well worth it. Rhododendron is the king of the garden. The rose is the queen.
And when they're close to your house, you have to watch them awful close.
Yes.
Get out of hand.
Yep, indeed.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for calling. 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. We are just about out of time for this week. So if you have another question, and you can feel free to send photos along if you're having a problem or you just want to show off your plants.
Yeah.
To garden@wesb.com. And, well, deer, also bears out there. I've seen some reports of bears lately.
We've had them in our backyard already. Yep.
Mm, are they big into certain plants?
No. No, they're not. No.
So
they're usually just passing through.
We just don't have to worry about them as much as we do the deer, because the deer will.
Yeah.
They'll think, oh, salad bar that Bob put out for me.
Indeed, yes.
So once again, this brings us to the end of another episode of The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. I'm Andy Paulson. Thank you for joining us this week, and feel free to leave your questions at garden@wesb.com. E-mess.
Yeah.
Thank you. The news is...